Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at POWH.org.
And everybody said, praise the Lord. God bless you all. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord today on this Lord's Day. And it's a very different type setting for the fact of what everybody in this room is aware of with the coronavirus going around the world. Over 100 nations have been affected by this this outbreak, and it has affected most all of the states, United States. And so I think it is our job, our duty during the midst of this pandemic that is, has taken a hold of this world, not to lose sight of who's got us in the palm of his hands. And that God is able to take care of us. I think it's very important that we also use precautionary measures, do the things that we know to do, which is our diligent service and our reasonable service. I told you Wednesday night, if you were here, this might sound a little bit gruff. It might sound a little bit elementary in some aspects, but you'd be surprised at the people that sometimes neglect to do those kind of things. We have to remain sanitary at all times. And that means that if you go to the bathroom, you need to wash your hands before you leave the bathroom. Wash it with warm water, soap, and you do that for at least 20 seconds is what they're telling us. Make sure you get your hands dried, get you a paper towel. There is a can by the door that you can reach up and take a hold of the doorknob with a paper towel instead of your hand. Pull the door open and then turn around after you place your foot in front of the door and put your paper towel back into the garbage can. These are just some of the things. Exercise, all of these Germex things that we have out there. We've wiped down everything that needs to be wiped down. And the main thing that I need you to do is to make sure that you keep your children supervised at all times and do not let them be running around this building because they're naturally going to want to go up to people and hug on people. And this does not have the effect on children as much as it does grown adults. And we need to be careful in that aspect. And so accompany your children to the restroom if they go to the restroom or any other place in this building. Until we get past this, and we will get past it. We will get past it. This nation is going to get past it. I can assure you, we will get past it. I have been keeping a very close tab on this and been prayerful and mindful of it. I have a very good friend that has some inside connections with the governments in some of the foreign countries that where this originated from. And I have been keeping up with that. And let me just say to you that the news agency is not reporting this accurately. But I can tell you that there shall be no weapon. There shall be no weapon that shall befall thee. And neither shall there be any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And you need to revisit that 91st Psalm and believe that. There shall be no weapon that shall befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because you have made the Lord, the Most High, even thy habitation. And so we're glad for all of you that are here today. Quite honestly, I'm quite shocked at the crowd that's here today. Some were planning on going out of town, and I think you had a change of plans, which I do not blame you. I would be changing them too. I could not imagine right now being locked up inside of an airplane could not be imagining being locked up on a cruise ship somewhere. I could not imagine that. I like being able to go if I need to go. And so I'm glad that all of you are here today. If you're glad you're in the house of the Lord, would you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you all. I told our ministerial team to do a lot of smiling. A lot of smiling. And if you want to get a good smile, turn around. There's something about 6'7" in the back that's green standing behind you back here. Praise God. Praise God. Let's take our Bibles in hand. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Procedure that Sister Meikle is going to be having is going to be Wednesday morning, and so we need to pray for her that the Lord will touch her body. She is watching us today, and I assured her that we would be praying. Since last Sunday, we had Sister Carolina Ingram's mother passed away during service last Sunday. And we also have Sister Ruby Ford that we need to keep in our prayers right now, that the Lord would strengthen her respiratory system. And she does not really need to be intermingling right now with all these people with her respiratory the way it is. And we can understand that. Stay home if you must. If you feel like that you're not feeling good, somebody says, well, I'm just going to act in faith. Well, you act in faith, but on our end, we want to act in common sense, too. So you believe God, and I'm going to take the other route, okay? And so exercise that, and if it came down to it, we would go to a broadcast, a Facebook Live broadcast, but we want to make sure that we stay together and connected as a church family. And we are not going to let any of this stuff deter us from the projects that we have going on right now. And we have got our cabinets in. They are already in the back. They're beautiful custom-made cabinets that were made for our coffee shop, made out of birch and poplar wood. And they're going to be beautifully installed, and everything is going to come out great. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing. There's also some projects going on next door in our Sunday school area over there, and the office. And so we've got a lot of things going. It's very important that we stay in tune with what God is doing. And then also at the same time, I believe from the scripture that if we are in the church dispensational age of Laodicea and Philadelphia, two churches that were existing simultaneously at the same time, what was said of Laodicea is that they were rich, increased with goods, and had need of nothing. And that's not the only scriptural standpoint I could take that from, but I do believe that the Lord is coming back for a church that is not going to be broke. I think the Lord is going to take care of his people. I think God can take care of your job. I think God can take care of your well-being all the way around. And if that is the case, he is the provider. Let's don't forget to honor him with the substance of our first fruits. And if we do not go to a service where we have to go for a few weeks or whatever, we'll stay in compliance with state law and local laws. But if we do have to do that, don't forget your obligations by way of the there's various ways that you can do that. You can do that on the internet. You can do that at the kiosk or whatever. And so let's go in our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 9:11. And let me talk to you from my heart here just for a few moments. You're not going to get this out of out of a typical denominational church, what I'm going to share with you today. But I am going to tell you, I have been to both sides of the ledger as far as being in services, and there's nothing that replaces the old-fashioned power of God. Nothing replaces the old-fashioned power of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is dealing with me about going back to some old-time preaching. If you were not here this past Wednesday night and did not get to hear that superb teaching that Bishop Wilson did, you missed a very important, and I would encourage you to go on to the archives to watch that and listen to that. He talked about the power of the blood. He talked about being dead. And it was fantastic. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I return and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Verse 12 said, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. I also read in one place where David beseeched earnestly, he prayed to the Lord in 39:4. I want to read it to you of the book of Psalms, the 39th division of Psalms, verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 9 said, for man also knoweth not his time. But David come along and said, Lord, I want to know mine. I really ask for no response this morning, but I do pose a question. And if you had less than a week to live, what would you want to know? The Bible said that man does not know his time. That's what I want to talk to you about. Men do not know their time. You may be seated. Predicated in this verse of scripture, or passages of scripture that I read to you, actually three verses of scripture out of two different books, I have preached for many years the contradictory thought that you have heard it since you were a child. What you don't know won't hurt you. Anybody with me? That is just another misrepresentation that civilization has planted in our minds. That what you don't know won't hurt you. That's an untruth. Because the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, It is hid. That means they don't know it. If the gospel is hid, they don't know it. It's hid to them that don't know it, and they are lost. So what you don't know will hurt you. There are three things that generally are accepted that men do not know. They are accepted, but they are very significant things. Number one, when is Jesus coming back again? Acts 1 and 7 said, he said unto them, for it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Not for you to know it. The second thing is, no man knows when he will feel the presence of God the very last time. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Somewhere, sometime, someplace, if the rapture does not take place, or even if it does take place, you will sit in your last apostolic service for the very last time. No man knows when he will feel the presence of God for the very last time. That's why we push in this church. That's why we will continue to push in this church every time we come here. It's important that we allow God to move in this church. It's important that we all get something from God every time we come into the house of God. I know I'm not preaching to folks that don't care here today. It's very obvious you care or you would not be here. But what would it profit us to make all of the effort to come to the house of God? Make every provision that we could make to get here to the house of God just to sit here and not do anything after we're here. Not accomplish anything while we're here. So I'd ask you the question, if this was your last service, how do you want it to end? How do you want it to be remembered in the minds of all of us that are around about you today? If this is your last time to feel the presence of the Lord, what do you want us to remember it by? Would you want us to remember it as it's someone who was sitting there in indifference, sitting there without any seemingly affect at all? Or would you want us to remember that you were moved on by God? That you responded to God. God touched you and your spirit. And everybody in the church could sense it, that the presence of God was upon your life. How would you want this service to end today, if this was the last time you were going to feel his spirit? What would you want to be remembered? That God blessed you mightily? That God moved upon you powerfully? And thirdly, is when you will receive your last call from God. The Bible does teach us that man does not know when he is going to get his last call from God. You may think that you are young, got a lot in front of you, a lot ahead of you. Can I tell you that we're living right now, presently, as I speak, we're living in a very changing world. I'll carry it a step further than that. We're living in a very shocking world. You wake up every day to hear statistics changing. Entire nations going on shutdown. States, North Carolina announced yesterday, 2 weeks minimal. The public school systems in the entire state will be shut down. Workplaces being evacuated, people without work. People without work equals people without money. People without money equals people without food. People without food, that's a dangerous situation. The Every day, statistics are changing. I talked to a good friend of mine last night. And I will just tell you this much. He is intimately connected and has got reliable sources and the nation of this origin of this epidemic that has broke out. He told me for a fact, he said this is being underplayed, so drastically underplayed in that nation. He said, Pastor, it is at least 100 times worse than what it is being reported by the news agencies. 100 times. And there are at least somewhere they having a hard time estimating, but at least 200,000, possibly upward to 500,000 in that one city that are infected by it, and possibly 100,000 plus have died, but you're not hearing anything about that. I'm not saying that today to bring fear mongering. In fact, I'm doing just the opposite of that. I've got to project faith to you. I'm just telling you that we are at a point where things are changing on a daily basis and you do not know what your time is. This church does not know what our time is. Life this morning as we know it is so very fragile. Oh, how that I have come in the past few months to really realize that, oh, the brevity of life and how you could be doing good one day and the next day you're in a totally different state. Life is a very fragile thing, and the Bible teaches us those things, that there are some things that appear to be set. They seem to be ever established by the Word of God to be a finality. The Scripture said that man himself does not know his time. But strangely enough, when I get into the Word of God, as I'm going to take you for the next few moments, I'm going to show you some very unusual things about the scripture. When you come into the house of God, when you come into His house, as you have this morning, you may have thought you were just going to visit another place of worship. You might thought you were going to come just to another gathering together, but you are in the church of the living God. This is the house of God. This is where God has chosen to abide. This is not just another place of worship. God is in this house. His Spirit is in this house. Hallelujah. You are going to have an encounter with God in this place today. I could not even begin to preach to you all of the privileges that coming to church affords you, but you are privileged just being here. I hope you understand that. Just to be in His house is a privilege. The very fact that you sat on these padded seats this morning is one of the greatest blessings that have ever been afforded in all of your life to you. So let me go straight to the heart of the statement I want to make to you, that the church is a place where you can know the unknown. And secondly, the church is a place of revelation. Because the God who knows the end from the beginning is in this church. He knows how this thing is going to end, just like He knows how He began it. I'm talking about a God who knows where you're going to be 5 years from now. Hallelujah. Yet you're in a place where wisdom can be granted to you on how to guide your life, how to direct your life. The politicians don't know what's going to happen. The government doesn't know really what's going to happen. The intelligence of our generation cannot tell us what's going to happen, but the Holy Ghost does know the future. You are in a place today where God can open up the very future and allow you to make some drastic changes that will be relative to your future and for your eternity. What a day this is today. What an opportunity we have afforded to us this morning to be in the presence of Almighty God. We're able to be known, know the unknown, and actually have the future revealed to us in a way that our destiny can be changed. There is no greater power on earth than what is in this building this morning. I want to go on record what I'm saying to you right now. The power that is in this building is greater than any viral sickness or disease that is rampant in this hour. I'm talking about the power to know where your future holds. And I'm not talking about a psychic. I'm not talking about reading the paper to find out what tomorrow is going to be. We're talking about a God that knows your very being. The Bible said that man does not know his time. But let me take you to the scripture and let me do a little scripture reading to you this morning. In Numbers 20 and 24, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. God told Aaron that he was going to die. Man doesn't know his time, but God told Aaron he was going to die. And the 31st chapter of Numbers in verse 2, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. The Bible said that man does not know his time, but God is telling Moses, you're going to die. 1 Samuel 28 and 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel into the hand of the Philistine. And tomorrow thou shalt and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. God had just told Saul that he and his sons, were going to be moved from one dimension in life to another, which he called death. God prepared Saul out of mercy before he ever fell on the sword at Gilboa. God prepared him for that time. 1 Kings 14 and 12, arise thou therefore, get thou into thy own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. The Bible said that man does not know his time, but I'm talking about through the scripture. I can show you specifically pinpointed references where God told people in advance they were going to die. 2 Kings 8 and 10, Elisha said to him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord show me that thou shalt surely die. Elisha is having a little bit of sarcasm here. He knows what the ruler is wanting to hear. So go tell him everything is going to be all right. But the Lord, I've got to tell you before I leave. I'll tell you what you want to hear, but before I leave, I want to tell you the truth. The Lord has already decided thou shalt surely die. Man does not know his time, and God is marching through the scripture telling this one and this one, you are going to die. 2 Kings 20 and 1, and in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So God sent a special message to Hezekiah and told him to set his house in order, because you're going to die and you're not going to live. And we struggle with the fact that the Bible says that man knoweth not his time. We struggle with that. And yet I've just carried you through the Word of God and gave you various scriptural settings with a variety of unexplainable events where God pointedly told men, you're going to die, and this is your time. I also think of how that God got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, those twin cities, and he sent his angels into the city and almost forced Lot to come out. The angels grabbed a hold of him and drug him out of the city because judgment was coming on that place. And God escorted Lot out of that place with an angelic host because of a judgment that was coming, because of a relationship of a man named Abraham with God that was so strong that God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without bringing Lot out first. The Bible said that man does not know his time, yet over and over that scripture is in question because God illustrated special dispensations of mercy, special dispensations of grace, and called people to a point of warning to bring them to a place of deliverance. I cannot tell you how fortunate you are to be where you are this morning. I cannot stress to you how fortunate you are to be in the place that you are this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, where you're at, where I'm at right now, is nothing short of an act of the mercy of God. $7.5 billion people on planet Earth, and here you are in the house of God. Because what I have to tell you, your favorite sportscaster will not tell you. What I've got to preach to you today, your favorite commentator on the news will not tell you. What I've got to tell you today, the politicians in Washington will not tell you. Not even your favorite physician will speak to you what I've got to speak to you this morning, because you are in a very special place of mercy. You are in a very special place of grace. When the Bible said that man does not know his time, and yet we have undeniable list of how that God gave special visitation. He sent angels. He gave warnings to particular people about their future, what was going to happen to them. And the only answer that I can find for this seemingly contradiction in the Word of God is because the Word does not contradict itself. When the Scripture said that man does not know his time, I found in consolation to that subject, Exodus 33:19. And he said, I will make all goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to them to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on them on whom I will show mercy. Even God is not bound by his word, because when he can show mercy, that will exceed the law. Did you just hear me? Mercy, grace, have kissed together with the law. And the mercy of God exceeds the law of God. Even when God had purposed to do something in his heart, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to start over, and I'm going to start over with you. It'll no longer be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'll start with you, and then I'll go from you to your children. He said, not so, Lord. If you wipe those people out, go ahead and take me out of the picture also, because I don't want to be here. And what God had already purposed in his heart to do, what God had already said I was going to do, mercy trumped. You are in a house of mercy today. You are in a house of grace today. And mercy and grace trumps the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is merciful. And because you're here in this church, because there are prayer warriors here in this church, God can send an angel into this room to stop somebody that's on a course to disaster, and perhaps you don't even know which direction you're going right now. I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that God saved me from was not hell. The greatest thing that God saved me from was myself. Because left to myself, I will self-destruct. Left unbridled, I will be like a wild animal. But God comes along, mercy comes along, grace comes along, picks me up, dusts me off. The mistakes I make after mistake after mistake after mistake. But when I fall, rejoice not against me. Because I'll get back up. God will help dust me back off and send me back on my way again. Bless. Bless. You see, we have no reason to believe that we have to be warned of God about anything. You have no scripture to support that. But just the fact that God walks in and chooses to be merciful to us. There's a reason why, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I took that 24th chapter of Matthew apart one morning, sitting at the breakfast table. We took it apart this week and just went verse by verse through it, looking at various words in there, divers places. What's that mean, divers? I said, that's not talking about skin diving. What is divers places? And it simply means various places. What's pestilence? Well, the original of that is just simply diseases. So there's going to be diseases in various places. But Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. We need to pray that God will keep his hand stayed upon this church for a period of time. But you hear what I'm telling you, it's the beginning of what's going to come. So are you getting shook up, Pastor? No, I'm looking up. But we've got to seize on this opportunity. We've got to seize on this opportunity as a church to take advantage of the timing. Do you realize that timing is everything with God? Anybody that has ever did any kind of surfing will tell you timing is everything. When it comes to surfing, being able to catch that wave at the right time. If you miss that golden opportunity, you missed it. It's that marvelous moment of momentum that comes in. Right now, the church is moving into a marvelous moment of momentum. God himself, God, not me, God himself is orchestrating not just this church, not just this city, not just this state, not just this country, not this nation, but the entire world is being poised at one time in a marvelous moment of momentum. And if we do this right and we captivate on it right, there's no telling the influx of souls that we can rescue out of hell if we'll just get in tune with the Holy Ghost. So there's nothing wrong with showing precaution. There's nothing wrong with limiting your activities in certain ways. But let me tell you something. You don't limit your activities as far as church. You don't limit your activities as far as God. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't just sit back and get a month's worth of groceries and say, well, I'm going to sit home for 1 month and just wait. No, you don't do that. You captivate on this moment. You seize this opportunity. You move when you have the opportunity to move. You reach people while you have the opportunity to reach them. Mercy is calling out to this nation. Man doesn't know his time, but God knows his time. Oh. Some of you can remember it. I had already. No, it was just right before, months before I came here. Maybe a month or two before I came here to pastor this church in 1995. But you remember when the federal building in Oklahoma City was bombed, there was a United Pentecostal lady that was killed in that building. I heard the testimony come from her husband. He told the story of how that every day they had a unique routine with his wife going to work in that federal building. But on this specific morning, when they awoke and sat at the breakfast table making their plans for the day, all of the normality of life was set aside, and she told her husband, don't worry about the children. Our oldest will be able to help you. Her normal words of separation for the day, I love you, accompanied by a kiss, and I'll see you tonight. But when they separated that morning, her husband heard some unique words come out of her lips. And that was this. She looked at him and said goodbye. He said in all of their marriage relationship, when they separated for a day, she never said goodbye. She always said, I'll see you this afternoon. I'll see you later. But somehow an angel of mercy had come and said, you're going home today. I'm preaching to somebody that may be, in fact, having an angelic visitation. I don't know. I guess I'm stirred in my spirit because of what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the pandemic nature of what's taking place in the world right now, and I'm being blown away by going to the grocery store and shelves are emptied out. Getting calls from people that would know there's an uncertainty right now. People don't know. They just don't know. Just be honest about it. You don't know. You're here this morning, but you don't know. You don't even know what tomorrow is going to hold. You don't know, in fact, what this afternoon is going to hold. Have you thought about this? And I'm not trying to start any conspiracy. theory, but if this was intentionally done, that would be considered an act of war. There is coming a day in Bible prophecy that how much of the population of the earth is going to be wiped out? That's going to happen. One third of the world's population. You need to make it your business to study that 20th chapter. That's not the words of the preacher. That's the words of Jesus. Study that 24th chapter of Matthew. Look at it in its original text. Look at it in the Aramaic. Look at it in the Greek on the key words. Find out the meaning of those words. And tell me we know what tomorrow holds for any of us. We don't know. But we do know who holds tomorrow. So what do I have to do, Pastor? Hold on to Jesus. Keep on keeping on. Seize on this opportunity to get your family close to you. Start making the things of this life that really matter, matter. I was so happy to hear some of the things that Brother Wilson said here Wednesday night. He was talking about age has a way of just causing things that used to mean something to you. They just don't quite mean so much to you anymore. You find yourself going through this state when you get in your 50s, mid-50s. You start trying to downsize. That's the word now, downsize. That's another way of saying it just don't mean as much to me. But when you're in your 20s and your 30s, you spend your life running this rat race trying to get. And once you get it, you're standing there with it and you're saying, now what? Don't mean nothing. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. What are you doing? What if this was my last service? What if this was my last time to be in the house of God? Is there somebody that I want to go to and say, I love you? Is there something I need to say to the Lord? And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. I don't know. I'm not trying to cast a dreary setting on this morning. On your way to church this morning, was it overcast by the time you came to church this morning? I don't know if there's something about the overcast. It's just a strangeness about it. I came in here today and I see all of you here, and I'm very honored that you're all here that are here. Really surprised me. I didn't even think this many was going to come. I'm going to be one of those diehards. I'm going to hold out to the very end. I'm going to have church regardless, unless I'm banned from having it, then I'll have it on the internet. But we're going to have church. I really don't even know. I don't know if I made a mess out of this today. Certainly not my normal style of delivery or preaching. But none of us know what tomorrow holds. I think it's time that we all take a fresh look at Calvary, re-examine ourselves, put our priorities right, put Jesus first in our life. Because I can tell you this much more, it's not going to be much longer. And Jesus is coming back. Oh, he's coming soon. And don't you want to be ready to meet him? Hey, let me ask you another question. Do you want to meet him by yourself? Do you want to take somebody with you? I got loved ones I want to see saved. I got family I want to see saved. So what are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to keep praying, and this is the main thing. I'm going to keep exampling it. I'm going to keep living it. That's it. You know what, Brother Dave? I didn't know it because you've never even told it to me before. You've been coming to this church for a long time, and I've never heard your testimony. My mom sat down with me the other day, and she told me your testimony. I'm moved. Somebody lived that in front of you. Somebody exampled it from you, in front of you. And though you was a long ways from God, that's what drew you back. That's what drew him back. Somebody lived it in front of him. And if it worked for them, it'll work for me. Live for God. Walk with God. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Don't get sidetracked with the cares of this life. Don't get caught up in all of this trivial nonsense that's going on in this world right now. This thing is going to work out exactly like God wants it to work out. It is. God is moving this thing around like a chess set right now. Not one thing is happening in this world right now that's not going by him. And I could say much more than what I am today, but I don't feel the liberty to say that in a public setting. I'm just telling you, we're coming down to the end of the end. You don't know your time. But you do know that grace is available to you today. Mercy is ready for you today. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and if you would like to walk down to this front today to pray. I'm not going to make a big call. It's going to open up the opportunity. You may not get somebody to lay their hand on your head, but you can't have a talk with Jesus. I promise you that. That's it. Let's move in here. Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
beautiful.
I don't know how you're viewing this, but I'm telling you, the way I'm looking at it right now, what's going on with this pandemic right now that's taking place in this world, that's a warning from God. That's an opportunity from God. That's space and time that you have and I have to prepare myself for what is coming upon this earth. And God has given us an opportunity in mercy. In mercy. It's mercy. It's mercy. Come on. Don't spurn mercy. Don't turn away mercy. Captivate on mercy. Come on, why don't everybody lift your hands up and let's talk to the Lord right now, our Creator, our God. Our God.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.